What up, Long Beach? Like we've been saying and will be saying, hope you and yours are happy and healthy. This is going to be our another attempt at a Long Beach sports podcast in these strange times. We're going to have a fun show for you this week as we continue to cover the LBC schools and sports teams and taking a little look back. As always, I am JJ Fiddler, and across the city via Skype, he's Mike Garabasio.
I miss you, buddy. How you doing?
I know. Miss you too, dude. We just keep seeing each other's top halves.
I know. JJ and I are huggers, both of us. Like, I think anytime you and I are together, we always give each other a good hug. It's, like, very weird just talking to not just you, but, like, my mom, our friend Connor, who just moved back to Southern California. Like, all of our friends are just seeing them on their computer screen. I'm frankly quite sick of it.
Dude, shout out to Connor, Izette, and anybody else dealing with, you live far away from somebody, they move really close, and then coronavirus hits, and you have this strange torture where you're like, that guy's literally less than an hour away from me. Can't go see him.
They moved from New York too, so they're also self-quarantining in order to make sure that they're not bringing anything back from New York. So, like, yeah, I mean, I can't go to, I mean, can you imagine? You're a Southern California guy, you go live in New York for like a decade or whatever, and then you come home and you can't go to In-N-Out or to get tacos.
No, it's just not right, and hopefully it will all be right again. This podcast is part of our partnership with the Long Beach Post, where we do all of the coverage of the LBC schools and sports, as I said. And we've got something a little bit new that we're breaking out this week, and we're calling it the 562 Classic. As you know, ESPN has been replaying a lot of highlights from some of the great games that they have, and we've covered some great games working together for more than 10 years here in the city. And so we're going to take a look back at some of these great games and recall those highlights, kind of like a director's cut or an ESPN Classics. These 562 Classics are going to come to you probably about once a week, so make sure you let us know which ones you want. Our first one, we're announcing it this week, and we've got a special interview with one of the guys who was in the video coming up on this week's episode of What Up Long Beach. That video this week is going to be the 2012 showdown between Wilson's Chase DeYoung and Lakewood's Shane Watson at Blair Field. It was just a regular league game, but with more than 3,000 fans and scouts in attendance that night, felt very special for the baseball world, Mike.
It was very special for us too. Definitely stick around for that interview with Chase. We had a great time talking to him. We've kept in touch with Chase quite a bit over the years. He obviously has gone on to have a very nice career. Got to play in the major leagues for a couple different teams over a few seasons. Then did the end of last year in an independent league, and is basically just sort of on a holding pattern along with everyone else. So you can hear what, if you're a pitcher trying to make it back to the show, you can hear what life is like when the show isn't happening.
Yeah, it's telling us stories about trying to figure out different ways to work out, trying to stay ready for whenever the ball game comes back to our lives. And that's frustrating in a very specific way after you see what happened to him recently, you know, with some of those teams. But the stories he tells, like talking to Chase Utley in the Dodgers clubhouse, I mean, you know, so for everybody, right, they say their sports career never ends it the way you want it to. But you're always going to have those crazy stories. And two Long Beach kids named Chase meeting in the Dodgers clubhouse is just a special story that he's always going to have. And I'm never going to get tired of hearing it.
No, for sure. So definitely stick around for that interview. I want to throw an early plug out there as well for next week. We're going to have CIF Southern Section Commissioner Rob Wygod on. I know a lot of people have a lot of questions for Rob about what's going on with high school sports, what was behind the decision to shut down the spring, what fall might look like or might not look like. So if you've got questions, get those ready. We'll definitely ask some reader questions to Rob. I know people will be curious for that. So definitely check out next week's episode as well.
And also, you can go watch that video before you listen to this interview with Chase DeYoung. That video is available at Long Beach Post right now. Two kids pitching in front of their city. In a month, they will have both taken their teams to the CIF semifinals and been drafted by a Major League Baseball club. And this was just a regular Tuesday night in Long Beach. Such an unbelievable story and so much fun to look back at it and maybe virtually feel like we can step at Bull Diamond at Blair Field for just a second.
Definitely enjoy the first 562 Classic video. And I want to throw this out there, Jage. I don't know if you have something definitively in mind, but what would you think of you and me and Tyler coming up with like an idea each for the next one? And then we'll put a poll up on Twitter where we can, we'll let people vote for what video do they want to see next on the Classic.
I like that. It's going to be a mix, but a lot of it from 2012. Good God. When you look back in 2012, that is a special year for Long Beach sports. I mean, you have stuff like this going on at Blair Field. Chase and Shane, not the only future professional ball players in that game. Chris Betts, a freshman, JP Crawford, an underclassman in that game as well. But then you look at like Long Beach State basketball,
right,
Pauley basketball, Pauley football, Wilson water polo. Like everybody's playing for championships in 2012. It was crazy.
Will you remind me when we're off air that I have a Chris Betts story for you that I think we'll end up telling on next week's podcast?
Do you think I'm not already planning on having Chris Betts on this podcast to tell some crazy stories? We got space to fill, my friend. Space to fill and plenty of stuff to do that with here at What Up Long Beach.
I think we mentioned this last week. I think we're going to mention it for as long as the shutdown's going on. But, you know, one thing that JJ and I have been trying to do is make sure we're getting a weekly Naples Rib Company visit in. Go down there and do a takeout. They've got the food set up outside, so you don't even have to go in. Dave Orsini, our buddy down at Naples Rib Company, even slipped me a roll of toilet paper when we made our pickup last week. Always trying to make sure that all of his customers are well taken care of. And, you know, for me, they have so many different things at Naples. I always get the brisket sandwich, but because we're eating there regularly, we're eating there every week, I've actually been able to start trying other stuff on the menu. Usually you and I have them in a lot of banquets and stuff like that, but it's been nice to really get deep into that menu and check out all the amazing food they have, not just barbecue. And we just want to urge you guys. They've supported us. They've supported a lot of schools and organizations in the city. And right now is a time when they need Long Beach's support the same way they've been giving their support to Long Beach. So try and work them into your schedule. If it's once a month, if it's once a week, whatever it is, go down to Naples Rib Company or check out their website, call in a to-go order, and tell them Mike and JJ sent you.
All right, here he is, Chase DeYoung, live from a beautiful backyard, rocking a sweet Long Beach lid. How are you, Chase?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing all right.
We're bored, dude. How are you?
Yeah, I mean, I think my standard answer has been, you know, I'm better than most, worse off than some, but, you know, hanging in there.
It is like, I've said can't complain so many times, and yet, like, you know, Shar and I are both still drawing a paycheck. Like, we're all healthy, so, like, I certainly don't want to complain, but it is difficult when, like, every single part of your life no longer exists. Like,
yeah.
There's no sports to watch. There's no sports for us to cover. Our kids aren't in school. Shar's not in school. JJ and I are Skyping podcasts with our friends instead of sitting down with them. It's just like the whole thing is weird. You might have my favorite workout video so far because I saw you were working out with your little baby niece, like using her as a weight.
Yeah, I was on babysitting duty, but also had to get a workout in, so killed two birds with one stone.
So what else have you been up to? What are you taking up your time with?
I don't know if you know this, but there's 17 seasons of NCIS on Netflix. The family and I went 8 straight days of after dinner we crushed the Harry Potter. So
the whole series.
Yeah, man. Just watching a lot of that after dinner, you know, a lot of home cooking right now, which, you know, I have my wife, my mom, and I'm not too bad in the kitchen, so we're not going hungry over here. A lot of backyard workouts. I am wearing out the brick wall in my backyard and then the one at the park in our neighborhood with these weighted plyo balls. I think my neighbors think I'm a little crazy, just literally throwing a ball against the wall for, you know, 15 minutes every day. But you got to do what you got to do. You know, you got to adapt.
Are you finding any new hobbies with all this free time? You picking up anything new? Surprised
you? Yeah, I've never ridden my bike this much before in my life.
Where are you riding around?
I mean, I love my nieces and nephew, but we got a lot of bodies in this house. And every once in a while, Uncle Chase and Aunt Chrissy just need to go ride their bikes for, you know, 2 hours.
2 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours, yeah, 8 hours.
Honest, my legs have never been in better shape. My life.
Let's talk baseball and career stuff. You were looking for a deal when all this stuff, I mean, shut everything down in sports across the country. Has the front office side of baseball, has the trying to find independent league stuff, has that all started back up at all? Or is everyone just sitting around waiting to find out if anyone's going to play any games anytime soon?
It's pretty much a standstill. Honestly, this entire offseason, which is the off season that never ends for me right now. I had a returning offer to go back and play independent ball where I finished last year in Sugar Land. When I think it was when Governor Newsom came on the TV and gave the first like stay at home lockdown thing, I immediately called him and said, hey, I'm gonna sign that contract so I for sure have something. So right now I'm going back to Sugar Land.
You just don't know when. You just have no idea when.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard a lot of rumors. I've talked to, you know, all my buddies that are, you know, still playing and on 25-man rosters, and all the rumors and stuff about, you know, we're going to play in Phoenix all the time, we're going to play in a bubble, everybody's going to wear a mask, this and that. Like, you don't know what's solid and what's hearsay, but I think we're getting close. The rumor of, like, a early June start date seems to be the most concrete one, since I'm hearing that from multiple sources of, you know, commissioners' offices, different coaching staffs, things like that.
You got to sign you up as a journalist. Chase has got sources. I love it.
Yeah.
Could you see a future where Major League Baseball games are being played this summer without fans in the stands? What's your first reaction to that? How does that make you feel?
At this point, I mean, I think we're going to have to slowly get it back. I don't think all of a sudden this is going to end and everybody's going to be like, all right, life's back to normal again. We're playing in front of packed stadiums, this and that. I think we're going to be really grateful to just have sports back. So if it has to start without spectators, you know, at the field with us, so be it. You know, let's get something back. Let's be able to watch it on TV. Let's start with something.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I just think, like, we're all inside. Everyone's bored. You know, I mean, if we're going to have to stay inside to sort of put this virus down, then, like, give us something to watch on TV at least. You know, they were talking about doing a horse competition with NBA guys, which would normally sound like paint drying to me. But
yeah. But
when I heard that, I was like, who's going to be in it? Like, what are the rules going to be? You know, it's just like, please, like, oh, my God, give me something to look at.
So for you personally, Chase, where's your head at? I mean, are you feeling frustrated that you're not being able to get back on the bump every day with the guys? Are you feeling rejuvenated? And I was talking to your former Wilson baseball coach, Andy Hall, the other day, and he's like, I wasn't sure if I wanted to come back last year, but now with this, I want to coach for the rest of my life. Are you feeling kind of like wanting, you know what I mean?
I mean, I've been working on that a lot. There's the negative side of me that's like, gosh, you know, I'm coming off of the worst year of my life, and all I want to do is get back, prove myself, show everybody the adjustments that I've made, and I feel great, you know, body strong, arms feeling good, getting ready to go. I was down to, like, you know, a week or two before I'm out of here, and then this all hit, so it's like, all right, pump the brakes, you know, still just keep your head down, grind mode, just, you know, stay ready is pretty much the mindset I'm having of, I don't know when I'm going to be back, but I know as soon as they lift this starting gate, you know, it's not going to be a marathon. This is going to be a sprint. This is, I got to get myself back to the big league. And the way I'm going to do that is to come out of this, you know, just hair on fire, guns blazing, ready to go.
We were thinking about those moments back in high school, like when we were at your house for the draft party, and how big all of that stuff felt back then. Even looking at the video of that 2012 game at Blair, the crowd and everything, like, looking back on it now, if we saw a crowd like that at Blair Field this year or last year, we would have been absolutely shocked, because it's just not like that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it before, and I think I've even said it to you guys. I remember when I was in, like, the low levels with the Blue Jays still, and we were playing the Yankees at their place in Tampa, and I remember I was charting. And, you know, when you're a rookie, you're charting on the road in July in Tampa, in full pants and unis.
So living the dream, baby.
Yeah. Being a baby Jay. Anyways, I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I get a tap on my shoulder from a, you know, clearly a scout looking guy, you know, khakis, golf shirt, Maui Jims, you know, bucket hat. And he says, hey, I just want to let you know, I covered your games. He's like, I'm the national cross checker for the New York Yankees. He goes, I covered your games. That's some of the best high school baseball atmosphere I've ever seen. Now, this is like 2 years post. I still get guys that come up and say that, because they know that, you know, I'm a Long Beach guy. And those games that they went to were just, everybody was like, yeah, this doesn't happen.
Well, so when we launched the 562 Classic, I mean, we're thinking the same thing that ESPN and the NFL and the NBA and anyone who's putting content out, we're thinking the same thing. Like, we need something. Like, people want to watch old games. They want to hear stories. We have a different perspective on football from 2008 or baseball from 2012 than we did in those years, obviously. So that was like a no-brainer for us, like first games were those ones because they were so special. And when you look back on them, I never remember that you and Chris Betts were at Wilson at the same time because he was 3 full years younger than you. So
yeah, he was a freshman, I was a senior.
Yeah, so we're looking at the video and it's like, okay, well, there's obviously Chase and Shane and there's JP. Okay, and there's Chris Betts, and that, you know, yeah. And you're just like, this is crazy.
You got four of us on the same field at one time.
Right. It was absolutely nuts. But I think even though I would say as a writer, I feel like in some ways I was too young to appreciate it because, you know, when I was growing up and when you were a little kid, it was the Moore League was always winning the Division I baseball championship. It was like Wilson, Milliken, and Lakewood would just sort of trade off, and so that was really regular. But there was no way for me to understand, like, no, two top pitchers in the country, a J.P. Crawford, a Chris Betts, like, it's very rare that anyone gets this, much less, you know, a public school district's high school sports league, you know?
Well, here, I can touch on that. I mean, okay, I figured it out because I made a, this is a little bit of a, you know, blow my own horn, but I made a really good best man speech at one of my buddy's weddings this offseason, and I figured out like the number of guys, like ballpark number of actual teammates I've had in pro ball. It's like, I want to say it's like 600 guys in 9 years of playing. I've actually been in the same clubhouse as that many guys. Being traded three times helps with that too.
Yeah.
But you go meet these guys who have unbelievable talent. I play with guys who are from very small towns in the South or the Midwest or, you know, wherever. And they're unbelievably gifted. You know, they're coming out of there throwing, you know, 95, 96, you know, hammer breaking ball, 6'6", 235 guys that are, you know, pitchers. And they are like the biggest dudes to come out of their town.
They've got their name on the welcome to this town sign. Right,
right. Their name's on the water tower of childhood birthplace of so-and-so. Okay, all four of those guys that you named, me included, Shane, JP, and Chris, we're not on Long Beach's Mount Rushmore. I don't even think we're on the first ballot. Not even close. Honestly, like, and I try to convey that to people is like, you gotta be somebody to be where I'm from. Like, all right, Aaron just signed that deal. Aaron's probably gonna be on the baseball Mount Rushmore, but I mean, even then, like,
there's three Hall of Famers on the Mount Rushmore already, so that four spot's pretty tough, you know.
All right, so four. Yeah, like, okay, at the Century Club dinner, like, I'm sitting there talking with Utley, and I'm like, somebody when I walked into the building was like, hey man, like, are you gonna join the club? I'm like, I joined when I was 18. Like, like, you're Utley, right? I was like, no, I'm the other Chase.
Yeah.
The fact that I even got confused for him is, I mean, that's...
I'm the other Chase who made the major leagues who's been honored, you know, honored by this club. Like, we have multiple guys with that name.
That might have been my favorite story with him, and I was happy to see that he actually remembered me because we were only in the clubhouse together for very, you know, a brief amount of time in spring trainings. But when I was a non-roster invite with the Dodgers in 16... He came into camp and pitchers were there, you know, a couple, what, like 7 or 8 days prior. He shows up and his locker's in the corner and it's on the way out to the parking lot. And he gets there and everybody's, you know, interviewing, talking to him. And I'd never met him at this point. But I know Thomas had, you know, Walker, my best friend. And so we had mutual people. So his locker finally clears. It's just him. I'm all respectful. I'm 22. I walk up to him like, hey, Chase, my name's Chase. I'm from Long Beach. And he just kind of stopped and looked at me. He's like, are you serious? Like, yeah. He's like, where'd you go to high school? I was like, I went to Wilson. He goes, all right, that would have been weird if, you know, we actually had all three in common. But ever since then, like, he's been super kind to me. And then, you know, we didn't see each other for 3 years. And then at that dinner, you know, I finally, you know, made eye contact with him. He's like, dude, what's up? Like, how you been? Where you been? This and that. And like, just a phenomenal guy. But like, getting back to it, the talent pool that we have coming out of this city, like, it's ridiculous. And I've said that ever since I got drafted, ever since I've been in high school, you know, playing against guys that are just studs. And you know, it is. We're competing against each other, and we make each other better from the youth level until it's time for us to all go play high-level collegiate ball.
I just want to say, so Vincent's doing his third year of baseball at Los Altos right now, over at Eldo. And it has been really funny to look around and realize, like, first of all, there's insanely talented six-year-olds in Long Beach, right? Like, clearly people whose parents have been, you know, baseball lifers. But there have been moments where I step back and I was thinking about some of those pony games where we saw, you know, you guys, you and Thomas and Solomon and everyone else at Whaley. And we're realizing, like, these pony games, the youth level baseball is so much more talented in Long Beach than is really even reasonable. You know what I mean?
Like, I spoke at Whaley's opening day and I told him that. I was like, guys, you guys got big shoes to fill, but you seem to do it every year.
Right.
So, you know, play hard, make each other better, and I'll probably be playing with some of you guys someday.
We've written a couple different articles about it, that Long Beach swagger, and that Blair Field always dripping with that baseball swagoo. You can kind of just feel it. Even when baseball's not as good in Long Beach, it still feels like that. But in 2012, Mike and I were laughing. Even the outs and the strikeouts and the groundouts in that game, that video from 2012, they're still impressive cuts. You know what I mean? Like, there was some swingers in that game, dude. Sophomore Nick Reeser looks like he could walk into the Moore League right now and be player of the year.
Yeah, they don't pop out. They don't pop out anymore like they did in 2012, Chase.
Chase, is there anything you remember specifically about that game that we've got here for 562 Classics this week? You against Shane, the first matchup that night.
Yeah, pretty sure it's the one and only time in my life that I've gone 3-0, banger, 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 and got a strikeout.
Do you remember who it was up against?
Yeah, I do, and I'm not going to say his name because I know him pretty well. But
Does his last name rhyme with Rodford?
No. Okay. I'm pretty sure it's a super Hawaiian last name. But no, I know Zach really well, and I'm almost 100% sure that it was 3-0, couldn't find my fastball, shook off, curveball for a strike, curveball for a swing and miss, curveball for a swing and miss. And I'm right. Like, this went 3-0, then three straight curveballs. So
sweet.
I remember that. I don't think I ever got a hit off of Shane. I know I walked and I've grounded out a couple times.
Yes. Yeah. I think you walked twice in just that game. I wanted to ask you about pitching in that game, but really in every game. Like, we were looking at the Moore League's results. It was really fun going back down memory lane, by the way, with this stuff. We were looking at the games, and obviously I remembered that it was low scoring for the whole year, but to see, okay, 2-1 win over Milliken in 8, 1-0 loss to Molly, you know, the 2-1 game, 12 innings, 9 innings, like all 1 or 2 run games, basically. I remember you handling that really well. I mean, I remember JJ and I being very impressed by the job you did handling that emotionally, but how difficult was that? How much pressure was that compared to usually someone who's going to be drafted where you were, who's pitching in high school? Like you said, they're coming from a small town. Life is pretty great. You know what I mean? Whereas for you, you're just sweating it out in these crazy battles. Like, what was that like, and how did you sort of mentally handle that?
I mean, I couldn't blame anybody because I was part of the offense too. So I was part of the problem as well as, you know, throwing up zeros, but I wasn't driving anybody in. So it's not like I was helping my own case. But no, I mean, I knew that, you know, we were facing good guys. You know, even could take out me and Shane, you know, CC shoved for Polly. You know, I was a left-handed hitter. I've talked to other left-handed hitters, like, I struggled against him. And then when he got drafted by the Mariners, you know, I was telling guys, like, dude, I couldn't hit this guy in high school. Like, I think I got one hit.
Right.
And I was a pretty good hitter. And then Jimmy Norman was with Milliken.
Yeah.
Like, he threw the ball well. And, you know, guys, it was a really good league. Like, it was fun to play, but, you know, it was very pitcher dominant.
Yeah, it was super competitive. All of those games, you can see in the video, the celebration after the run, how much was on the line. You and Shane seem to have a really interesting relationship as well. We mentioned earlier that you guys both committed to USC, knowing pretty well that you'd be drafted that summer. Why was it important to you to have kind of a good yet still competitive relationship with Watson?
I mean, it's exactly what it is, that driving fire. Like, we're two big fish in a big pond, and we're competing for, you know, who can be better. He threw harder than me. I knew that. But I knew I could pitch better than him, you know, on a given night. Like, you know, it is just, I remember one cross checker had us as it was a boxing reference, which I don't remember. Like, one of them was like the puncher, one of them was like the something else, and I was the more finesse guy.
You were the counter puncher.
You were the Sugar Ray Leonard.
Right.
Yeah, and it was, I mean, those are still some of the most incredible games I can remember playing in, because one, I knew most of the people in the stands, which, you know, I pitched in Seattle in front of 30,000. I pitched, you know, in other places in front of a lot of people. I'm never going to have that connection to the crowd as I did that night or those nights. So Shane and I went into it like we had a really good, you know, mutual respect for each other's talents. And we knew that we were going to have to be on our very, like, on the very top of our game to best the other.
No doubt. It was an absolute pleasure to watch, man. And to be honest with you, it really cured our ills for not having big crowds, cool sporting events to cover. Just looking at the crowd at Blair Field and the shots and stuff, it was like, it scratched an itch, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I've had other teammates that have, like, looked those up or, like, seen it and stuff, and they're like, dude, how many curveballs did you throw in high school? I was like, a lot. I threw a lot. And they're like, it was just banger after banger after banger. I was like, yeah, but you know what? Knock on wood, my UCL's still intact.
Right.
And I was able to throw high fastballs off of it. It worked for me. They're like, yeah, clearly.
For your dad not being thrilled with your, like, 135 pitch count after that game.
Yeah. No, the one that he was mad at was the one against Pauly.
Yeah, the one where you went 10 innings, no hit.
Yeah, the pitching coordinator or the, you know, whatever pitching guy for the New York Yankees, again, they were on me in the draft too. He literally walked up to my dad after I threw 10 innings at 139 pitches, and he walked up to my dad and said, if you don't go take the ball away from him, I am going to go out there and take the ball away from him. And, you know, that was enough for me. But, you know, actually, that's one thing, like, playing in, like, the Wilson Golf Tournament or talking to the Century Club, like, I have an unbreakable record in the state of California, because according to CIF, you're only allowed to throw 10 innings in a week, and I threw them in a night at Blair, so I got a 10-inning no-hitter.
Indeed. It's far down. It's a stat, dude. Stat of the day from Chase. Good stuff,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for taking the time, man. We really appreciate it. Obviously, we want everything to be back to normal, but especially for great people like you, dude. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Right now, it's so easy to wallow in the sadness and just think about, like, oh, what could have been? Oh, all the things that could have been, all the things that we could be doing right now, the storylines that could have developed. But one thing that I think has been really helpful for me is my job. Like, being able to write cool columns about people stuck in a bad situation, just finding some positivity, finding a little bit of hope, finding a way to make things a little bit better. Mike, you and I have both been writing columns over the last few weeks where we're trying to take a different angle and look at this whole situation, these closures, and the way it affects the Long Beach sports community, and look at it under a little bit of a different light. One of those columns that you'll find on the 562.org this week is one that I wrote about the Pettway family. If you know local baseball, you know the Pettways. Zach is currently a baseball player at UCLA, but he went to Wilson, where his younger brother Ryan is a senior, and their sister Leah is a softball player and an underclassman. And boy, could they have had an incredible summer, right? Like, May and June for the Pettways could have been all three kids playing in the postseason on very good teams, who all, let's be honest, because of the divisions, they all had chances to play for championships. I mean, UCLA was bound for Omaha, I feel, and the Wilson baseball and softball teams are both in lower divisions. So they could have been playing in the playoffs. You could have had the Pettway brothers on the mound at Bull Diamond at Blair Field within days of each other at the end of May and the beginning of June. And then possibly you've got Zach set up to be a decent round Major League Baseball draft pick And then Ryan graduates like a couple days later at Wilson. What a summer it could have been. I was so bummed out just thinking about what could have been about the Petways. And then I called them, and they're like the most positive people ever. And it uplifted me and my wife. Like, I was doing the interviews, and Vanessa, after the interview, said, wow, those people are amazing. And that's so much fun.
And you were like,
to go to your job. Yeah. To go to your job and be like, I want to follow amazing people. I want to be surrounded by amazing people. Well, despite all this bull, they're still here, dude. The Petways are still standing. They're still strong.
Yeah, I think when you and I first started talking about it, it was obvious that all this stuff was going to get shut down. I think the Petways were the first family we thought of. We were like, oh, my God, like Zach and Ryan. I wasn't even thinking about their sister. But, yeah, I mean, you talk about finishing up an All-American college baseball career, finishing up what has been kind of a legendary senior athletic season, obviously, for Ryan, between football and baseball. And, yeah, I don't know, man. It's so tough, and you're right. The positivity of those families and those kids sort of makes it easier for me to keep going. But the other family I wanted to shout out, our friends the Yogis, they were supposed to have a college graduate, Haley. CJ was going to graduate high school, and then Chris was going to graduate eighth grade. And now, like, all of those ceremonies, you know, all of that pomp and circumstance for what's supposed to be kind of one of those years that as a family you're talking about for the next 30 or 40 years, just gets wiped away. I mean, just, I don't know. My column was hopefully uplifting as well, but definitely just sort of taking that deep breath on, like, hey, this sucks, you know, like, and how much you and I have talked about feeling for the high school seniors. Listening to that board meeting last week where, you know, Megan Kerr, a board member with the LBSD Board of Education, was tearing up, you know, talking about just how sad she was for the seniors. I don't know, man. It's when something like this happens, it's always going to affect some people more than others. And, you know, I know this from doing research for the historical books I've written. You look at World War II, no one was having fun in high school during World War II. They didn't get to have prom. Right, the graduations were very stripped down, sports were stripped down, and this just feels like one of those things that, like, if you're a 17-year-old kid, you know, you didn't have anything to do with causing this, but, like, this is the world you're graduating into, you know, and you got to find a way to make the most of it, and hopefully we can be a part of some kind of a plan to make the most of it for the community as we get into the summer.
Finding a way to make the most of it probably should be the theme of the columns that you and I have written over the last few weeks, because two of the other ones that I wrote about the Wilson boys soccer team juggling toilet paper as a challenge on social media, and then the video game tournament that was organized by the 562.org and Milliken and Long Beach State's esports crews. I mean, it's just so cool that stuff is happening where people are trying to just reach out to each other, even though you can't do it physically, you can do it virtually. And as we record this podcast on Skype, it's really interesting how the virtual world has become even more of our reality, even if we didn't even think that was possible, like the way we ingest sports, for example.
I'll tell you what, I have my own personal making the best of it. I got a new computer by necessity, unfortunately. My computer broke at a sort of a financially fragile time, obviously. But I with the new computer, downloaded the Adobe Creative Suite, which includes Photoshop and Illustrator. So I'm hoping to really up some of my editing, image, and video skills during the shutdown, even if I won't really get to sharpen and test those skills for, check the calendar, 4 months.
All right, we're going to go get back to doing the same thing we were before we started recording this show. But before we get out of here and wrap up another episode of What Up Long Beach, we do our recommendations. We've got recommendations for what you can be doing while you are stuck at home, feeling bored, entertaining yourself. Mike, what do you got? I'm sure you've been creating a lot of living room games like the Yogi family, playing with the kids.
My recommendation, first of all, is the 562 Classic. Definitely go check it out. Sign up as a Patreon subscriber. I had so much fun recording that video with you. Probably the most fun work thing I've done this week. It was just awesome to get to look at an old video and enjoy that. And so sign up as a Patreon subscriber. We also announced this week that we've hired our buddy Tyler Hendrickson full-time at the 562, which means when sports are up and running, we will be fully loaded at the 562 to bring you some historic sports coverage. But my recommendation, kind of spinning off the 562 Classic, is going to be I read Moneyball this week for the first time, and then I watched the movie for the first time. I hadn't seen the movie.
Really?
Yeah, so really loved the book. I think I mentioned a couple weeks ago I read Michael Lewis's The Big Short. He's the same guy who wrote those books. The book was amazing. And then the movie, which I'll be honest, the reason I watched the book was so I could watch the movie, because part of the movie was filmed at Blair. And I'm missing Blair Field quite a bit right now.
Nice.
But the book was great. The movie was great. And obviously getting to see Blair Field with baseball players out there was a nice treat as well.
Good ones. I'm also talking about watching stuff on TV, but my wife watches reality TV. So it's tough, right? It's a battle. We have to go back and forth. She gets a show, I get a show. But when I watch these reality TV shows, she doesn't let me like tune out, right? I gotta be in it. I gotta be dialed in. So what I've started doing is laying betting lines on reality TV shows. Who's gonna get kicked off? What words are people gonna say?
I saw that on her Instagram. I saw your lines on the Brubs and whatever.
Yep. So she loves UK stuff, right? So like Love Island UK, she just loves it. So they've got all this vernacular, proper, fancy, chat, mug, all this stuff, right? So we put lines on that, guessing them, and then we obviously guess if we think the couples are going to survive. Yeah, I could definitely send you some pictures of some grids that I've put together that would make your best Vegas bookie blush. It's a lot of fun, though, because it kind of adds my love for sports betting and gambling and our love for people putting their private lives on national television.
Well said, my friend.
All right, that's it. That's all. There ain't no more. Let's get out of here and let people get back to taking time to love one another.
Our thanks again to Chase DeYoung for joining us. And again, be sure to tune in for next week's What Up Long Beach. We will have Rob Wygod, the CIF Southern Section Commissioner, on to talk about high school sports. You won't want to miss that one either.
So right here at What Up Long Beach, everything you need to know about Long Beach sports. Available at Long Beach Post, where you can find the rest of our coverage and all your sports coverage, as always, at the562.org. So for Mike and for JJ and for everybody else who helps put those websites together, we will see you very soon, Long Beach. Take care of yourselves.